Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Aleph. We left off daf Kuf Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah. The last couple of blot of this parak take a little bit of a turn and discuss burial plots. Discusses makom kvur, because of course we're talking about when you sell various makomos. So we got into selling when you sell a place for a kvura. The important thing to remember, though, is going, you know, as we're about to look at this Mishnah, is that the way they would bury people back then is not the way we bury people now. It wasn't a flat surface field where they would just go and bury people each with their own, you know, their own dalaramos, etc. Rather, what they would do is they would have a cave, and inside the cave, they would hollow out in the walls areas where they would, you know, where they would stick the mace, almost like you would see in a morgue or something, where the you know, where it's, the mace is in the wall, and then once they would stick the mace in the wall, they would put a rock in front of the opening, and to close it off. So that's how they would generally do it. Now they would have an area, a central area, which was the Ma'ara, and off to the sides, each little crevice that they would stick an individual mace in was called a kuch. And that's what we're going to see in the Mishnah. We're going to discuss the size of a typical Ma'ara, what a Ma'ara is supposed to be, and the size of each individual kuch, and how they would not overlap with each other, and how there was space for however many kuchin. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah. Let's say I sell you an area, and I tell you, I'm selling you an area to make a kever. Or let's say it's not a sale; it's a matana, giving you a matana of an. But the promise is that I'm giving you an area that you're able to make a kever. So osa tocho shel ma'ara dal ramos al sheish. So how big does that area have to be? It's supposed to be, the inside of the ma'ara is supposed to be 4 amos by 6 amos. Uposeach l'tocho shmona kuchin. And inside that ma'ara, there should be 8 kuchin coming off of that ma'ara. So there should be room to bury 8 people in that area. How do you have an area that's 4 amos by 6 amos place to bury 8 people? So shalosh mikan, v'shnayim mikenegdan. If you walk in on one of the 4 amah walls, so on the wall that you walk in, there are no kvarim, there are no kuchin, but you walk in on one of the 4 amah walls, so to your right and to your left are each 6 amah walls. In each of those 6 amah walls, you have 3 people, 3 kuchin, and therefore 3 people buried. And right across from you, when you walk in, the wall facing you is 4 amos across, and therefore enough space for 2 people to be buried. So 3 plus 3 plus 2, that's how you get 8. Now, before we go any further, just a couple of things. First of all, why does the Mishnah give 2 cases, both one of Mocher Makom Lechaveru and also Mekabel Lechaveru? So the Shoshan L'David explains that one might have had a Havamina, that it's Dafka when you're Mocher Makom Lechaver. We say that included in that is the Chatzer that we're going to see soon on top of the Kever, and all the extra spaces, because all that is considered the Makom Kever, and that's therefore included in the business deal. But when it's a Matana, I might think each chelek is a matana b'fnei atzma. So when you say that you're giving him a kever, I would think you're only mechavin for the ma'ara, which is the kever itself, but not for the chatzer, which we're going to see soon in the Mishnah, is an area just outside the kever, which was critical to running a typical levaya. You would need that area of the chatzer. Second thing is, why the number 8? Why would they dafka have a typical kever, a typical ma'ara, have enough space for 8 people to be buried there? So the Marsha Maseches Sota Daf Yud Gimel explains that they made Shmona Kuchim because it's supposed to be representative of a family. Not that a whole family actually is always exactly 8 people, but it's supposed to be representative of a Jewish family. Why? Because there's a person and his Zayin Krovim. Right? There are 7 Krovim for whom we are Misabel on, etc. So the person plus his Zayin Krovim represents the family unit. So that's where the number 8 comes from. Now obviously it doesn't mean that every family, you know, there's a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, exactly one of each, and none of them have their own families. No, everyone has they each have their own families. So obviously the family unit is much larger, but it's just representative of what a family is. The Marsha further says that Maris HaMachpela, it's no accident, also has 4 zugos. There are 4 pairs of people buried in Maris HaMachpela, because a Ma'ara is supposed to have 8, and therefore the Ma'ara should have eight as well. And that's why Marasa Machpelah has eight as well. So it's the paradigmatic example of what a Ma'ara is supposed to be. So it should have it also has eight people buried there. So that's the idea of the eight. Now the Chasam Sofer has an interesting idea. He says you had shalosh mikan v'shnayim mikenegdan. Someone asked the Chasam Sofer is a tshuva. Where someone asked him, apparently they were running out of space in a cemetery, and they couldn't continue to bury people all in the same direction. They had some area off to the side where if they would just turn, start burying people facing another direction, they'd be able to fit them. And no one had ever seen a cemetery where they did that. In every cemetery they've ever been to, everyone's buried in the same direction. So they asked Chasam Sofer if there's a halachic problem with that. So the Chasam Sofer in Chiluk Yerodeh, Siman Shin Lamed Beis, says, no, of course there's no halachic problem with it. He says, I'll prove to you there's no halachic problem with it. Look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that you go into Ma'ara, there are some people buried that way, some people buried that way. Everyone's lying down, right? You don't bury standing up. So everyone's lying down. So this person's feet are facing east, this person's feet are facing west, that person's feet are facing south. They're all in different directions. So he says there's vaday, not a problem with it. However, he says, in Eretz Yisrael, he says, for sure there's no reason to be makbar on it. He said, the only reason I could see why the Minhag Yisrael has become to bury everyone in the same direction, he said, if I had to give some sort of explanation for it, he said, I would say as follows, that since Mesim, we know there's going to be Tchias HaMesim one day, and Mesim and Eretz Yisrael are just going to get up, but the Mesim and Chutz Laretz are going to be Megalgel, so the Mesim are going to have to be Megalgel B'Mechilos, they're going to have to roll in these tunnels underground to get to Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the reasons that people try to be makbid as much as possible if they can. It's a tremendous chus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so one doesn't have to be megalgel in these mecholos. We don't know exactly what that means or if it's painful or what, but that's one of the advantages of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Still, because of that, he says, so perhaps it's better when you're buried in Chutz Laretz to be buried with your feet toward Eretz Yisrael, so that you're not being megalgel head first. You'd be megalgel when you go through these tunnels, sort of shoot through feet first, it's going to be much easier. But nevertheless, he says, there's no such mitzvah to be makbid on this, there's no such requirement to be makbid on this, but he says that's the pshat, the idea of that the mesim are megalgelim to Eretz Yisrael before they get up. Maybe one might have thought, what do you mean? Tchias HaMesim, everyone will just get up and then take a plane to Eretz Yisrael. Says, no. Everyone's going to be Megalgal, the Gemara tells us. They're going to be Megalgal underground. And the Tchias HaMesim is actually going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. Chasam Sofer says, that's Pshat and Pasuk. That's Pshat and what we say. We say, L'cheiru komemiyos li'atzenu. Why do we daven to say, L'cheiru komemiyos li'atzenu? What does it mean, komemiyos? It means we should be able to get to Eretz Yisrael upright. We should be able to get to Eretz Yisrael before we die, that we shouldn't have to go through a Tchias HaMesim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach soon enough, and the time of Tchias HaMesim soon enough before we have to go through that experience ourselves. Anyway, that's the idea of the Shalosh Mikan, V'Shalosh Mikan, V'Shalosh Mikan. Also of interest, the Torah Sa'adam, the Ramban, in his Sefer, Torah Sa'adam, quotes from a Tshuvas Rav Haigon, where he says that you see from our Mishnah that you can't bury two mesim together, because each one had their own kuch. There's no such thing as mass graves or anything like that where we bury two mesim together. And even if there's no room to bury everybody, we're going to see soon in the discussion of the Gemara, the most that we're going to allow is to be mamik, to go a little bit deeper. Meaning we may allow burying on top of each other a little bit. There may be some overlap, one on top of the other, but never two in the same burial plot at all. And the Ramban says when you're going to be mamik and do one on top of each other, then you only need three tefachim of ground in between them. But the Torah writes, no, that you need to be marchik shisha tefachim, just like when you bury side by side, you need six tefachim in between. So too, when you bury one on top of the other, you also need six tefachim in between. But each person gets their own area in the ground. There's no burying people together. Okay, so that's the first sheet of the Mishnah, that a typical ma'ara has eight kuchim, enough room for eight people to be buried. It's four amos by six amos square. It's a four amos by six amos rectangle. Says the Mishnah Vayeter, how big is each kuch? The kuchin Orchan arba amos. The length of each kuch is 4 amos. Veroma neshiva. The height of each kuch is 7 amos. Virachvan shisha. And the width of each kuch is 6 tfachim. I'm sorry, did I say 7 amos? The height of each kuch is 7 tfachim. Obviously, not amos. No one, you don't need such height. It's 7 tfachim. And the width of each kuch is 6 tfachim. Now, one by one, arba amos. Why dafka would you need arba amos in length? So says Rashbam, I'll tell you why. Shameis arko shalosh amos, because a person is 3 amos tall. A person, a human being, is 3 amos tall. Ubitzvil aron shumunach bo tzarech amaravis. So for the aron, to make space for the aron that he's buried in, you need a 4th ama. So first of all, the Rashbam is clearly assuming that we're burying in Aronos, that we're not just burying in the ground. In Eretz Yisrael, we bury directly in the ground. In Chutz Laaretz, we bury in Aronos. So he's assuming we bury in Aronos when they're burying in the Ma'aros. But also, you need an Amma for the, how much is the, how thick are the Aronos? How fancy would they make? They have these big mahogany Aronos. What do they do? And it's a pine box. So what are we talking about? An extra Amma for the Aron, it's difficult to understand. Tosos in the top Tosos says Pirush Rabbi Shmuel Shemes Gimel Amos Bishvila Aron Tzorach Hamer Reviyas says Tosos Ve'ein Nira the Beperik Hametznia Mashum Behedidak Seif of Shaladim Gimel Amos. This is something we've discussed many times. How tall is the typical person? So the number one source for how tall a typical person is where the Gemara says that a mikveh is supposed to be 40 sa'a, which is the amount of water that could fill a space that is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos in height. Why 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos in height? Because that's exactly the size of a person. A person is an amma by an amma. We know from Masechta Sukkah as well that Sukkah, Machlokes B'Sham B'Sila, whether it's supposed to be Shisha Tvachim al Shisha Tvachim or Shiva Tvachim al Shiva Tvachim, but they both agree that a person takes up a space of 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim, and it's just whether you need to leave space for the Shulchan as well, that would take up the 7th Tvach. And the height of a person is 3 amos. So says Tosos, so Rashbam seems pashup shat. Yeah, the height of a person is 3 amos, and that's why you need an extra amma for the aron. Says Tosos, no, it's mashma in many sources that the height of a person is not 3 amos. The height of a person up until his shoulders is 3 amos. The Tosos doesn't go through all the sources, but most notably, the Gemara at the beginning of this Masechta, at the beginning of Bava Basra, when it talks about Hezek Re'ia, that one person shouldn't be able to see into the other person's field. How high do you have to make the wall that there shouldn't be Hezek Re'ia? Dalet amos. Well, if a person is only 3 amos tall, how much above his head does the wall need to be that he shouldn't be able to see into his neighbor's chatzer? It shouldn't have to be dalet amos, it should have to be 3 amos. Says Tosos, no, the height of a person until his shoulder is 3 amos. The full height of the person is going to be 4 amos. Why then are these kuchen 4 amos? Exactly, they're 4 amos because that's the real height of a person. The real height of a person is a lot closer to 4 amos than it is to 3 amos. Obviously, if you assume a typical person is 4 amos tall, you don't assume that an amma is 2 feet, right? Because most people are not 8 feet tall, right? You assume much more likely, meaning what the Gemara describes an amma as being is from the elbow to the top of your middle finger, so how tall is that? That's less than 2 feet on the average person. And if you were to do 3 times this, that's not even close to how tall you are. Right, and it makes much more sense that it should be 4 times. Right, that 4 times this length from your elbow to the tip of your finger, that seems much closer to the average height of a person. So that's machlokas number 1 in terms of the length of each kuch. Machlokas number 2, veruman shiva. Right, the height should be 7 tefachim. Why should the height of the kuch be 7 tefachim high? So we said again, how much space does a person typically take up? 1 amma. 1 amma is 6 tefachim. So why do you need that extra tefach of breathing room? Says the Rashbam, V'roman shiva l'hachnas aron b'ravach. Number 1, makes it easier to stick the aron in when you have a little bit of extra space. And number 2, he says, V'gam yos avir tefach ben akarka l'aron shlo l'tamei ha'ovrim al gabe ha'ma'ara. And also, we want to put a tefach of airspace between the top of the mace and the ground on top of the person, because we don't want anyone who's walking above that cave to become tamei from the mace underneath. And when you have a tefach of airspace, it creates its own ohel, and all the tumah is contained within that ohel, and is therefore not bokas viola ad l'rakia. Right, the tumah is not going to continue to go straight up. says Tosos, Roman Shiva, Pirsha ben Shmuel, Kadeshiye, Poseach, Tefach, Ba'aron, Shalote, Atuma, Bokas, Ba'olo, Metameha, over Al Gabav. That the point is that we don't want the Tuma to continue to go up, and that's why we leave this Poseach, Tefach. Kamosha Amar Parak Misha Mesu, he says, it's just like the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yates. The Gemara, famous Gemara in Brachos Daf Yates in the cover of Bria Sugya, says, Medalgin Ayinu Al Gabi Aronos, that they said they used to jump over Aronos Likros Malchei Yisrael to go greet the kings. And the Gemara says, Lo Malchei Yisrael Bulvad, Alfil Malchei Yomasa Olam, even to go see a non-Jewish king, it was worthwhile to be Medalig Al Gabi Aronos. For Kohanim, to be jumping over Aronos to go greet even a non-Jewish king. Why is it so important to greet a non-Jewish king? So the Gemara says, because if we're Zocha, we're going to be able to one day be Mavchin between the difference shown, the difference in the covet shown to a Jewish king and the covet shown to a non-Jewish king. So it's important to see the kind of covet that they show to a non-Jewish king. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But you're following Nisr Doraisa. Medalik al Gabe Aronos, that means you're being metame yourself. You're becoming tame. Kohen being metame to a mace. Umfarish hasam taima mishum derova aronos yishba pseach tefach. So the Gemara says, no. Most of the time you don't become tame because most of the aronos leave a tefach of airspace. Since they leave a tefach of airspace, if you're walking on the ground above where the people are buried, you're not going to become tame because there's a tefach of airspace that blocks the tumah, that stops the tumah, and therefore when you walk on top, you're not going to become tumah. It's not pukas viola. He says, "Umiu loha yemoel elu leinian tumah da oraisa al drabanan miatameh over alein kedam rahasam." He says, nevertheless, even though most of the time there is this poseach tefach, sometimes you have you might make it a little smaller by accident, or sometimes the mace might be a little bit bigger, and you're not going to have a poseach tefach. So even though most of the time you have this poseach tefach, and the tumah therefore does not continue straight up through the ground and hit whoever is walking above, but sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes it doesn't work out that you have a poseach tefach, and therefore you would still be tamei. And because of that miut, of those sometimes, we therefore make a din derabanan, that there's going to be a tumah derabanan whenever you walk in a beis hakvaros, even if there is assumed to be a poseach tefach, still tamei midrabanan. And that's what the Gemara over there says, that for the sake of kavra brios, you're allowed to be doche anisa derabanan. Right, the Gemara is discussing the concept of Einetzein Tvuna Neged Hashem, that there's no you can't make your own cheshbonos for people's kavod to go against the mitzvos of the Torah, to go against the surim of the Torah. So the Gemara says, no, kavod abrios is docha lo sasei shabatorah. Which lo sasei? The lo sasei of lo sasur. The kavod abrios is docha Yisurim Drabanan. So that's an Yisurim Drabanan to go al Gabei Aronos. There's another wild card factor that the Rishonim don't discuss over here, but is a discussion elsewhere, which is that the Mishnah tells us in Alos that not only is the mace mitame ba'ohel, but that the golol and dofek of the mace are also mitame ba'ohel. There's a machlokas Rishonim what the golol and dofek are, but according to machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, but according to Rashi, the golol and dofek are the aron itself. So even if you have a poseach tefach between the mace and the top of the aron, what about the aron itself? The aron itself is metame ba'ohel, because it's a goal of the dofik. The goal of the dofik are also metame ba'ohel. So that's a separate discussion. Tosus assumes that no, the goal of the dofik refers to the matseva or something like that, but not to the aron itself. But again, that's a separate discussion. So anyway, so the height is 7 tefachim of height in each kuch, and the width is 6 tefachim. That one's easy, because a mace is assumed to be 6 tefachim wide, so it doesn't require any explanation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, also tocha shel ma'ara sheish amos al shmona. So the Tanakhama said that how big is a typical ma'ara? It's 4 amos by 6 amos. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's supposed to be a little bit bigger. It's 6 amos by 8 amos. Uposeach l'tocha shlosha asar kuch. And you don't have 8 kuchin opened up into it, you have 13. You have 13 kuchin opened up into it, not just 8 kuchin opened up into it. How do you work out the 13? Arba mikan v'arba mikan u'shlosh miknegdan ve'echad miyamina pesach ve'echad minasmal. You walk in on one wall, on one of the shorter walls of the Kuch, on one of the six Amma walls, and on your right and your left are eight Amma walls. In each of those eight Amma walls, you have four people buried in each of them, and the wall directly across from you is six Amma, so you have three people buried in that wall, because we're assuming you leave an Amma of space between each Kuch as well, and then you put one off to the right and one off to the left. Now, what does that mean, one off to the right, one off to the left? The Gemara is going to discuss that, because where exactly is there room for one off to the right, one off to the left? So if you just look at pictures, they bias you right away, because you just look around the page and you'll see some pictures. But one off to the right, one off to the left, what one would have normally assumed, Pashtos, is that when you walk in, if you're walking in on a six Amma wall, how big does the doorway have to be? It certainly doesn't have to be six Ammos. So what, at most, four Ammos? Maybe it could be as little as two Amos, so you can have room next to you on the right side of the door, the left side of the door, on the wall of the door to add two extra ones. That's what Pashup Shat would have been. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Va'osa chatzer al pi ha'ma'ara sheish al sheish k'mala mita v'kovreha. And they would make a chatzer by the opening of the ma'ara, that's six Amos by six Amos, so that they could fit the mace and the people burying the mace to stand there as they're bringing the mace to his kvura. So they should have a chatzer outside of the ma'ara. Now, where is this chatzer? So the Rashbam says the chatzer is elevated. It's above the ma'ara, that there would be a chatzer from which you would walk down into the ma'ara. Tosfos says, "Vos chatzer al pesach ma'ara kan mashma shachatzer gavoa min ha'ma'ara." That the implication over here is that the chatzer is higher than the ma'ara. Da ba'il me'emar b'gemara shechem niyamin ha'pesach lechem nismol nechnasal l'toch ha'chatzer de kamar b'gemara ilav raya ha'komizdashi. Because the gemara is going to say that if these extra two kuchen that we just spoke about actually are on the wall where you walk in, where the pesach of the ma'ara is, so then they're going to stick out underneath the chatzer. They're going to actually be, the people buried in them are going to be underneath the ground of the chatzer, which implies that the chatzer is above ground, the ma'ara is below ground. The kasha, the perek mashuach milchama, Gemara in the 8th perek asota says, mash v'sheina chatzer shavim karka olam, ela amuk, v'tzarek lalus kishiyotzi menu. The implication clearly is that the chatzer is something that's deep down, and that you have to go up out of the chatzer. So how can we say the chatzer is high up, and that the ma'ara is beneath the chatzer? What do you mean? It sounds like you have to go up from the chatzer. The mafu ben piskel the mal, the piskel min atzad, v'chein pirshu kuntrushan. So says Tosfos, yeshlom adaf bisha chatzer amuka, ha-ma'ara amuka emena. Yes, the chatzer is deep, the ma'ara is yet deeper. So since the ma'ara is even deeper than the chatzer, it makes sense to say that you go up out of the chatzer, and yet it makes sense to say that the chatzer is above the ma'ara as well. Fine, so that's the simple way to solve all the problems. What does it mean you make a chatzer? Osa chatzer al pi ha'ma'ara. So if the chatzer is deep, it could be that that's what you're actually making it. It's you're hollowing out an area. But if you're assuming that the chatzer is just the ground, it's the above ground area, so you mark off a chatzer. What do you mean you make a chatzer? It's just the ground. It's just above ground. So the Ritva explains that when we say osa chatzer, it means that you're mesakenu machlik as a chatzer. You make it usable. You even it out. If there's shrubbery there, you remove it. You do whatever it takes to make it something that's usable to be able to have a levaya in the area. The Tosfos Rit over here says that the chatzer was shavu lekarka ma'aros, was actually on even ground together with the ma'aros, and you would go downstairs into the chatzer, and then from the chatzer you go straight into the ma'aros. So then you understand very well, like we said, what it would mean that you make the chatzer. You have to hollow out that area as well. Says the Mishnah Vayter, uposeach letoch shtei ma'aros, achas mikan v'achas mikan. He says for each chatzer, each chatzer leads into two ma'aros. If you look at the top picture in the Rashbam, right, you have a chatzer in the middle. Now, you don't see the height differential, but the chatzer, according to the Rashbam, is above ground. And then you go down from that chatzer to the right and to the left into two separate ma'aros, and each ma'ara has eight kvarim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, arba la'arba ruchoseha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, each chatzer doesn't go into two ma'aros. Each chatzer, the bottom picture, goes into four ma'aros. Right, each chatzer has on each side a ma'ara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hakol Lefi HaSela. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you should realize everything goes based on the rock. What does that mean, everything goes based on the rock? Because we had a machlokas in our Mishnah, whether you would have typically a 4x6 ma'ara with 8 plots, or a 6x8 ma'ara with 13 plots. Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, each kuch and how many kuchen you could fit in any given area really depends on the strength of the rock that you're hollowing out. Because we said that you're supposed to leave an amma between each and every kuch, right? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, lav dafka an amma. We just assume that's the only way to keep it stable, to leave an amma of space between them, to leave an amma of rock between them. But if you have very strong rock, you could probably, maybe you can get away with less than an amma. If you have very weak rock, very soft, where it's going to crumble very easily, so then you're going to, you better leave more than an amma of space between them. He says you have to use your brains a little bit. You can't just assume that everything's going to be fine by just following the exact measurements that the Mishnah gives us. Now, when we say poseach l'tocha shtei ma'aros, it's interesting. So we have this machlokas, whether you open two ma'aros or four ma'aros from each chatzer. The Rambam only mentions one ma'ara. He leaves out the whole idea of asiyas chatzer. He leaves out the whole concept of making a chatzer, which is clearly mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah says that according to the Rambam must have read our Mishnah, that the Tanakhama says you make 4 by 6 and you have 8 kvarim. And then Rabbi Shimon comes along and adds what? So the way we read it was Rabbi Shimon just disagrees about the size, but then everyone agrees about the chatzer and everything else. So says the Kesef Mishnah, according to the Rambam, the Sof HaMishnah, any time on in the Mishnah from the top line of Kuf Alef Amud Aleph, where it says Rabbi Shimon Omer, is all only within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And the Rambam would hold like the Tanakhama, and Tanakhama apparently does not require that you make a chatzer. What's the problem with that explanation? So it says it's Oziyantif. No, it's impossible. Because Rabbi Shimon comes up again later in the Mishnah. Right after we say that that each chatzer has 2 ma'aros, Rabbi Shimon Omer! No, it's not 2 ma'aros for each chatzer, it's 4 ma'aros for each chatzer. But if you can say every single line of the Mishnah after the top line of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph is Rabbi Shimon, so what do you mean, Rabbi Shimon Omer, that it's 4? Who's the one that said that it's 2 then? That must have been the Tanakhama, no? How could you say the whole idea of a chatzer is only according to Rabbi Shimon? You see, clearly Rabbi Shimon disagrees about the specifics of a chatzer with somebody in our Mishnah. So how can you say that it's all only Rabbi Shimon? So the Melech HaShlomo on the side of the Mishnah says, no, that these are 2 Tanaim within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. That in Ochanami, it's all Rabbi Shimon. And it's Machlokas Tanaim, what Rabbi Shimon held about the exact format of the chatzer and the ma'aros. But very clearly, Rabbi Shimon is the only one that says that you need to have a chatzer. That's how the Melech HaShlomo understands it, to be miyashev the Shitas HaRambam. But it is, because otherwise it's very strange. Why in the world would the Rambam leave out what seems to be a very clear halacha, that you're supposed to have a chatzer that leads directly into the Ma'aros? Okay, says the Gemara. Hani trei lehecho shadilhu. So we mentioned that you have, of the 13 in Rabbi Shimon's Ma'ara, you have 4 on each side, 3 in the wall directly across from you, plus another 2. Well, where are these other 2? Ilav ra'i hakamizdashi luhu. So the logical thing, so what did we say before? The most logical thing to assume is on the wall where you walk in, it's a 6-amma wall, so besides for the area of the doorway, you still have space to put 2 more kuchen. The other thing is these kuchen were dug, they were dug 4 ammas deep, right? 4 ammas, not deep underground, 4 ammas across into the wall. So if they were going into the wall where you walked in, and you walk in from the chatzer, let's say you walk down the steps from the chatzer directly into the ma'ara, and on that wall where you walk in, there are 2 kvarim that go 4 ammas backwards behind you. So then when you're walking around the chatzer, you're walking on top of those 2 kvarim. Right? Kamizdashilu, you're trampling on top of those 2 kvarim. Visu, and furthermore, hatzran chatzer akever ha'omid b'tocho tahar. We learned that if you stand in the chatzer akever, you're tahar. You don't become tamei standing in the chatzer akever. Well, if you're walking right on top of where the mesim are, you're becoming tamei. What do you mean you're tahar? Well, why don't you just say like Rosh Bam said, that there were 7 tefachim in height, so that you can be tahar. So that's because poseach tefach. No, but that's what we pointed out. You're tahar midaraisa. But mitrabanan, you're going to be tameh. So how can we say that your mamish is going to be tahar when you walk in the chatzer? It doesn't make any sense if there are these 2 bodies that are directly underneath the chatzer. So are these 2 separate kashas or are they 1 kasha? Right, we say, first of all, you're going to be trampling, you're going to be stepping on top of the graves. And second of all, how could you be tahar if you're stepping on top of the graves? So the Rimi Gash explains that, no, it's all 1 kasha. There's no problem with walking above a grave other than the fact that you're going to be tameh. And we say, no, what are you talking about? That you're gonna, it says the Mishnah says that you're tar when you walk in the chatzer. So the problem, obviously, with the text, if you assume that it's all one kasha, is the word vesu, right? Vesu implies that we're asking two separate kashas. So that's what the Piskei Rid says. The problem is that the mesim are going to be trampled on by people. That's a problem. It's an issue of bizayon amesim. It's not an issue of just tumah. There's an issue of bizayon amesim over here. Hagos Hashri says it's not bizayon amesim. It's an isru lidroch al kever because it's an isru hanah. You're not allowed to get any hanah from the kever. And if the kever is what's supporting your footing, so that's called getting hanah from the kever when you're walking on top of a kever. So based on the Piskei Rid and the Hagos Hashri, it would seem that there's an isur to walk above the kever. Now, other Rishonim point out that the Ravid points out that the issue of Bizayin HaMesim is only going to be an issue when you're going to stay there for a while, when you hang around there for a while. But as you're bringing someone to a kavura, so sometimes it's very difficult to bury somebody and to carry the aron and do it properly without dropping anything if you're not going to step at least a little bit on someone else's kever on the way there. So that's what some of the Rishonim point out, that there's no iser of walking over a kever per se. The iser is bizayin amesim being mishtahesham, of waiting there. And this chatzar was a place where people would gather, they would stop, they would say a spade, and whatever they would do. And since they would gather there, they would be mishtahesham. That was the problem. That's what we're saying. How could it be that you're trampling on top of the kever? It doesn't just mean walking on it, it means waiting there. Whereas if you say like the Gos Hashri that it's an iser of hana'a min ames, so then l'chor, it shouldn't make a difference whether you spend a long time or a short time there. Either way, it's hanam in a mace if the mace is supporting your footing. But again, if you say like the Rimi Gash, that it's all one kasha, the Rimi Gash assumes that there's no issue of trampling at all, that the whole thing is only an issue of tumma, and it's all one kasha, where the Gemara is asking, if you put these two mesim facing the wall behind you, right, when you walk in, so then they're directly underneath the chatzer, and then everyone's going to become tamei in the chatzer. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, da'avid luhu kamin nagar, that no, they made it like a lock. They would bury these people like a lock. What does that mean? So the phrase kamin nagar comes up in Hilchos Mezuzah, right, where we talk about, should the mezuzah be machlokas? Should it be vertical or should it be horizontal? Right, like this or like that. So kamin nagar is when we say it should be standing upright. That's what kamin nagar means. Now, we obviously pass in Hilchos Mezuzah, we do a compromise, we do somewhere in between, but really, Mekar Adin, many Rishonim say that Mekar Adin, we really, some of the Achronim say, explain the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that Mekar Adin, we really hold it should be upright, and we just put it at a little bit of an angle so that to satisfy the other shita a little bit also. But primarily, we really paskin that it should be upright. But anyway, so what does kamin nagar mean? It means you don't bury these people where they're four amos out into the chatzer. No, you bury them standing up straight. I don't know how they must have some support for them, because obviously they can't stand the dead, but so there must be some way to support them, to hold them up, but you bury them standing up straight. That's how those two people are standing. So Tosos on Amud Beis says Kamin Nagar Vaditan Besof Nazir Hamotzi Meis Mushkav Kedarkov Amr Gemar Mushkav Prat Liyoshev L'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin D'Hachad Davki Yoshev Vayv Lo Omeid. So Tosos says, is there any Gemara that tells us that you can't bury a mace standing up? So the only thing we have a Gemara that says you can't bury a mace sitting down. He's got to be lying, not sitting. So it says Tosfos, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, what you have to say is that he held that it means dafka sitting is a problem, but standing is okay. That it can either be lying or standing, just not sitting, which is a very shver of art. So frankly, Gemara, what are you talking about, burying people standing up? From Rabbi Yochanan, kvuris chamorim hizu. That's how you bury a donkey. That's not how you bury a human being. You don't bury a human being standing up. So he says that's impossible. It can't be that you would bury him standing up. So the Rabbi Yochanan da'avadu b'keren zavis. Now Rabbi Yochanan explains the way they would do it was not on the wall where you would walk in that they would bury those two extra people. They'd be off in the corner. If you look at the top picture in the Rashbam, the keren zavis, you see that the two extra ones are on a diagonal, off in the corners, in the far corners from where you walk in, not behind you when you walk in, because again, we don't want any tumah in the chatzah that's behind you. So it's got to be off in the far corners like that. So that's how you would do it in Keren Zavis. So frak the Gemara of Nagi Kuchen LaDadi. Yeah, it's nice. There is room in the Keren Zavis to put all the mesim, but the kuchen, the three corner kuchen, all touch each other. the one on the left side, meaning of the three that are in the wall that's directly across from you when you walk in, the two extreme ones are touching the ones that are on the angle, and the two far ones on the two walls that are on the side of you when you walk in are also touching the ones that are on an angle. So those three in the corner are bunched together in such a way that the kuchen all touch each other. And we said you're supposed to leave a space of one amma between kol kuch v'kuch, between each and every slot. You're supposed to leave a space of six tvachim. So over here, you're not leaving any space. They're all touching each other. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi b'ma'amik. No, they're not touching each other. You make one deeper than the other, right? You're ma'amik one deeper than the other, meaning we're looking at a two-dimensional image. But if we were looking at it in three dimensions, right, and that you would look at picture number two, right, where you have one overlapping the other, right? Where how does it overlap? Because one is deeper than the other. Dilote mahachi, because if you don't say that you're mamik anyway, then the whole Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because arba ma'aros Rabbi Shimon hechi avadahu. Remember, Rabbi Shimon says that off of each chatzer, you have four ma'aros. One to the north, one to the south, one to the east, one to the west. Well, look at picture number two. If you have a ma'ara to the north and a ma'ara to the east, then the first two kvarim are going to, the first two kuchen in each of them are going to touch each other. They're going to overlap each other, like you see in picture number two in the Rashbam. Right? They're clearly going to overlap each other. So since they're going to overlap each other, it must be that what do? You're mamik. You make one deeper than the other. And we said before, Machlokas Rishonim, how much deeper it has to be. Three tvachim according to the Ramban, six tvachim according to the Tur. But whatever it has to be, you have to be mamik in order to make it fit. So over here as well, we assume that you're mamik. So Frekt tells us, wait a second. Once we're saying that you're mamik, is it really necessary to do it b'keren zavis? Do you need them? Do you need to say? Do you need to touch it up that they're off in a corner? I mean, Frank tells him, "Tomar kivinchu mamik, amay tzarch shiyasa b'keren zavis, yasa barocha v'ma'ara, o ba'orach ma'ara, bein kuch l'kuch ba'amash bein atayim v'yamik." Why don't you take any of the amma spaces in between the two kvarim, and in between two kuchin, go down a little bit deeper and stick the mace there? Why do you need the keren zavis now? Once you're dealing with being mamik, so then put them right underneath one of the other mason, right? In its own kuch, a few tvachim lower. So he says, "V'yeshlomer l'fishayu mekalkel kosel ma'ara," because that would destabilize the wall of the ma'ara. V'yakarka nofel, and the ground would cave in. V'akuchanoy mekalkelin hol v'zeh kuch shemamik kolich ba'osot zad shashar kuchanochin al b'keren zavaseinu kein. So it would compromise the structure of the ma'ara. So the only best way to do it, to keep the structure strong, was to put it off into a keren zavis. Fine. Rav Huna bar Yehoshua amar, arba ma'aros l'Rabbi Shimon da'avaduhu ki charusa. He said, no, don't prove to me that you have to be mamik from the case that Rabbi Shimon has four ma'aros off of each chatzer. You could have four ma'aros off of each chatzer and not be mamik. You know how? Look at picture number three, right? You put all of the kvarim, all of the kuchen, facing on a diagonal in the same direction. And that way they're not going to overlap. So yes, you have four coming off of each wall, but they're all facing in the same direction, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. And that's why they're not going to overlap. So Frak the Gemara, Vahadrafun Brid Rav Yeshua Barusehi. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's a rejected opinion. We can't possibly hold like Rav Huna Brid Rav Yeshua. Why? It says the Gemara, because it's mathematically incorrect. He obviously wasn't paying attention to his geometry. Michti. Because we know that any amma you have in a square, if you were to go the diagonal of that square, it would be an amma and 2/5, 1.4 ammos, and the diagonal for a square, that's one amma by one amma, the diagonal of the square is going to be 1.4 ammos, right? 1 2/5 ammos. The Rishonim point out that that's not exactly correct. Tosfos and Erevin and Masech Sukkah say that the Cheshbon is not exactly meduyak. Tosrud over here explains that they knew the Cheshbon wasn't exactly meduyak, but it's very hard to do these things exactly when you're carving out in a mountain to actually do it in a meduyak way. So we allow for that much margin of error, right? So we assume it's 1.4 amos in diagonal for every one amma of square. Now, don't look at the diagonals in the way that the kfarim are going. Look at the diagonal from the other direction. If you look at the diagonal as if going across the heads of each of those ma'aros, right? The diagonal that would have to run across, I'm looking at my Gemara over here, the diagonal that would have to run across the back end of each of the ma'aras, not where you stick them into the wall, but where they end. So the diagonal, if each ma'ara's wall is 8 amos long, so what's the diagonal going to be across from extending the extreme end of one ma'ara to the extreme end of the other ma'ara? So if it's an 8 amos square that you're trying to diagonal off, how much is it going to be? So the Gemara does the math. So he says, Michti, kol amsa b'riva amsa v'sheichum shibel aksona, kama havelehu, chadsrei v'chumsha. So it would be 11 1/5 amos across. Kuchen kama havia, tamanya. How many kuchen do you need to fit in that area? 8 kuchen. Tamanya v'chadsrei v'chumsha heichi mishkachsla. You can never fit 8 kuchen in 11 1/5 amos of a diagonal. Meaning the point is, you have to leave an amma between each burial plot as well. And if you have eight burial plots and 7 areas in between them, what you really need is 15 amos of diagonal, and all you have is 11 1/5 amos of diagonal. So he says, Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua, is you draw the picture, it looks nice, until you start measuring the picture. Once you start measuring, you realize, and you draw it to scale, and you start measuring it, you realize that it's not going to fit geometrically, it's just not going to work out. Ella had Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua Barusi. So you have to say that Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua's opinion is a rejected opinion. The Iba Yisema, another possible explanation of our Mishnah, is Kedam Rav Shisha Brid Ravidi Binifli, that how did everything fit with, how did you fit these kvarim, these extra two? They're nefelim, and therefore they don't take 4 amos back into the wall underneath the chatzer, because the nefel only takes up 1 amma of space. It's a very small, obviously, if it's a miscarried fetus, so then you can bury it in a way where it's not going to take up too much space. So Hachanami Binifli, that's what we're talking about over here as well. Tzavtas Paneach explains that what the Gemara is saying is that the kevesh on the phelim could be very small, not only because the baby's body is small, but rather because there's no mitzvah of kavura, and therefore you could even bury them standing up if you need to, because there's no technical mitzvah of kavura in the nefel. However, not all the Rishonim say like that. The Rashbam says, no, the kuchim shel nefelim were only a chatziyama, because they were very tiny, and therefore you don't even need to bury them standing up. Burying them straight across, they're not going to take up any space, and therefore it's not going to cause tumah in the chatzer. And that's how you have these extra 2 areas for nefelim, because obviously people miscarried a lot more those days. Miscarriages are still very common, but it was even more common back in those days when health wasn't what it is today. So they always needed in each ma'ara a couple of slots for nefelim, and that way it didn't cause the tumah to extend into the chatzer. Okay.